From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, we're talking top v bottom clashes, game week 18 blanks, and transfers to consider. Do we need some bulldog spirit? Is Adama Traore a dumber idea? The answers to those questions and more coming up in your essential companion to game week 17. Hello, Fantasy Manager. Hope you've had a good week. It's about to get significantly better as we present top fantasy knowledge from broadcaster and former player Adrian Clark.
Hello.
Hi, Adrian. Lovely to see you again. Co-founder of Opta Joe, Duncan Alexander, is with us. Hi, Duncan.
Hi, James.
And we got one half of the FPL family, Lee Bonfield.
Hello, James.
Hi, Lee. Things are going significantly better for you of late.
I'm slowly but surely catching her up, yes.
Her, in this case, being Mrs. Bonfield,
yes.
Sam.
Yes.
You're fifth in our pundit league now, actually.
Doing okay.
Duncan had a cracking week. Adrian, you did well as well. You captained Kane.
Yeah. Ooh, kept good. Faith in him. Yeah, he's been with me all the way through since pre-season. So, I was delighted he finally came good.
Right. You did well. Not as well as the likes of Nick Tanner, who got 97 points this week.
Nice.
That's huge. Nick Tanner, the former Liverpool player, who's actually number one in the world right now. And I don't know if you've seen, there are various news stories this week about the player who's in fourth place, Magnus Carlsen, the world chess number one and number four in the world of fantasy management, which in many ways is the more difficult, you know, mental discipline.
It was good to see him say, actually, someone asked him about his method and he said, you know, a few hunches here and there, but also he likes perusing the Opta data. He said he was an optimist, so I like that. Although I have access to that data
very good.
I'm much lower than him, so it would suggest that being really good at chess is probably helping him.
Right. I mentioned we've all got great weeks. I think we all qualify for the inaugural round of the FPL Cup.
Yes.
If your points total for game week 16 was in the top 4.2 million managers worldwide, you're through. I will be taking on Queen's 11. Hello to you, Queen's 11, if you're listening. Who have you got, Adrian?
I'm looking forward to my clash with the Monkeys Bankers.
Brilliant.
Looks on paper an absolute
classic.
Who have
you drawn in the cup?
Very good.
Anyway, if you'd like to join our Pundits League, by the way, the code is 6QP8QK. 6QP8QK. Lots of talking points today, some lessons to be drawn from the last round of action. One of the big talking points definitely going to be what to do with Liverpool assets in light of their blank in game week 18. But on the subject of game week 16, Harry Kane and the 32-point haul you had, Adrian, from captaining him, is he now an option? Do you trust in Harry?
I've trusted him the whole way through, yeah. And now that they're starting to find their groove, Spurs, then I see no reason to ditch him. I've got two options because I'm looking to beef up my central midfield. I want five decent players rather than one sort of that's loitering around on the bench.
Uh-huh.
So
who have you got?
Aubameyang and Kane are my two expensive strikers.
Right.
The one that I'm looking to move on is not Kane, it's Aubameyang.
Really? Ooh. And that's because?
Fixtures, form, Arsenal, not obviously they beat West Ham United, but anybody could have beaten West Ham that night.
Right.
It wasn't great.
It's a damning indictment of your own team there, Adrian, isn't it? You're not backing Aubameyang.
Well, no, I like Aubameyang. He's a really good player, but obviously Lacazette's out of the team at the moment. I wonder whether there'll be a little bit of rotation in the short term between those two. And he's often stationed on the wing as well. So for me, at the price, Kane supersedes Aubameyang.
Kane, who certainly doesn't have the easiest of fixtures for the next two game weeks with Wolves and then Chelsea, but then, kind of crucially over the Christmas period, three easier looking games: Brighton, away at Norwich and away at Saints. So maybe that'll be something you'll factor into your decision. I brought in Kane and was delighted to see him return after two blanks, but I really don't know whether to stick with him. I guess he's a little bit more rotation-proof than a lot of the other big-name players out there for your Man Cities, etc. And that's a key consideration as we head into the December fixtures, Duncan.
Well, I did what critics are calling an anti-Adrian Clarke move by switching Kane for Aubameyang a couple of weeks ago. And Aubameyang's doing okay.
Yeah.
The only thing I'd say on Kane front is that he does tend to miss a few games every season with injury, and he hasn't had that much this season. And, you know, Mourinho does like a starting 11. Once he settles on it, he kind of sticks with it. And we're coming up to Christmas when there's a lot of games, so you know, possibly Kane could pick up an injury at some point.
But do you think he's the best option though, Duncan? I mean, I want to see a bit more from Kane. Other than the two goals were fantastic against Burnley, don't get me wrong, but there were shots from outside the box. If you look at some of the underlying statistics for Kane, he's not getting those shots in the box that we'd want to see.
Yeah, from an
FPL perspective,
his shots per game is much lower than it used to be. I mean, I've got Ali. I brought him in soon after Mourinho took over, and he's been brilliant. Son is the one I'm looking.
The work that Kane is doing, I think, is benefiting those two fantastically. I'm not saying Kane's a bad option, but those two are really great.
Ali has been the bigger performer in terms of points since Mourinho's come in, but you feel that Son is more likely to be a reliable performer long-term, that Dele Alli's maybe a little bit more flaky?
Well, I think the route to points for Son is multiple. So not only is he more creative than Dele Alli, looking at the underlying creativity stats, but of course he's got a goal in him. Now, don't expect he's going to score a goal like he did against Burnley every week, but the threat is absolutely there. Both are good picks, though, Joe.
OK, and Harry Kane, the price is the other thing, because it ties up so much of your funds, $10.9 million for him. If he blanks, that's a big hole in your weekend. A little bit of food for thought for you there.
I'm not wavering.
All right. Very confident there, Adrian.
Excellent. Well, let's have a chat then after this about the key games, fantasy-wise, from game week 17. Game week 17, Duncan, it kicks off, and probably will do in a very real sense, with top versus bottom at Anfield. Liverpool against Watford, 12:30 UK time Saturday. So deadline for your teams is 11:30. These fixtures of late, I mean, they've just been massive goals fest from Liverpool point of view. The worry, though, is the rotation which Klopp has been bringing in the last couple of rounds.
Yeah, I mean, up until a few weeks ago, you knew what the 11 was going to be. Now, a bit of variation. I mean, I benefited from Origi in the first game week, actually, against Norwich, but I had to get rid of him soon after that. We pretty much know there's going to be a lot of goals in this game. Liverpool's last three home games against Watford have been 6-1, 5-0 and 5-0. No team in Premier League history has ever won four consecutive home games against an opponent by five or more goals.
But has there ever been a team in history like this Liverpool?
Not really, no. Pretty much everyone out there is going to have one of the big three in their team, at least one. They've all got a good record against Watford.
Okay.
So I don't think it's a case of, oh, I've got Mane, I wish I had Salah, or I've got Firmino, I wish I had Mane. You know, I think any one of them will do you a job in this fixture.
If you were thinking of investing in a Liverpool player, is Origi actually a shout at this point, given that as Mane and Salah get rotated in and out of games?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I had a haunting preview of what life in game week 18 is going to be like last weekend, because I captained Mane, and then lo and behold, didn't play at Bournemouth. Vice captain Jamie Vardy did all right.
You were one of those guys.
Yeah, you know, it worked out. But
so I mean, there's a little lesson there. I mean, for anyone who needed it, that it is important to pay attention to where your VC is resting. But anyway, sorry, Duncan. Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, as it stands, I've got Mane and Alexander-Arnold. So, yeah, I'm not going to bring in any more Liverpool players. I don't think I'm going to get rid of either of them, though. Because
Origi is 5.2 million. Just if you were feeling that he's the guy who's going to pop up whenever one of the other guys is rested, that's a very attractive price.
Definitely, yeah, especially if you're looking to use your bench boost. He could be one that fills your bench up. He's so underrated, isn't he, Divock Origi? He's, whenever he's been used. But of course, you know, did you see the stat? You'll have seen the stat.
with
him being a vampire, basically. In daylight hours, he hardly ever scores.
Right.
But his record under the lights is just incredible. He scores basically five or six times more goals under the floodlights.
This is the lunchtime kickoff.
Well, this is lunchtime, but the Liverpool's next Premier League game after that is the very, very late game on Boxing Day at Leicester. So maybe
how
that's...
late?
8:30.
Vampire late.
Late enough for Divock.
So, that's interesting then, isn't it? I mentioned Liverpool having a great record against Watford. Their players, I mean, individually, Salah involved in seven goals in four Premier League appearances against Watford. Mane contributed to eight goals in five matches against them. For me, you know, scored or assisted eight in his last six against them. So,
and I think we should look at the defence as well, because if you think back to this fixture last season, Trent Alexander-Arnold got three assists. He was all over it. And I think Virgil van Dijk got two goals as well.
Well, also van Dijk with two headers in Liverpool's last game at Anfield. And Liverpool have already scored 10 headed goals this season, which is one more goal than Watford have scored in total. So, you know, there's threats from all over the pitch.
Is this fixture so attractive from a Liverpool asset point of view that you would bring that you would ignore the fact they blank in game week 18 and bring in players anyway?
I certainly wouldn't be selling any of my Liverpool players ahead of this fixture. Of course, what you then do and how you navigate the blank, we'll talk about that a bit later on. But yeah, you'd be keeping Mane and Trent and Salah for this fixture.
All right. Quick question from Joe, who asked, what are the chances of Robertson being benched for Liverpool in game week 17?
I don't think so. I mean, the only real replacement that Klopp's got there is James Milner. Now, right. James Milner paid... he played 90 minutes in the last two league games. Mm. And I think he got some minutes against Salzburg. But... No, I think I would say Robertson will play.
On the subject of the midweek Champions League game, was it interesting to see that Mane got taken off just after the hour? Does that mean that he's likely to be starting up front for Liverpool this weekend?
Well, he got quite angry with the referee and had been booked, so that might have been the reason. But I think the other thing we should remember is in midweek, Liverpool have got to play two separate teams in
the
World Club Cup and the League Cup. So that possibly might suggest there wouldn't be rotation because, you know, if Klopp's got to play a young team at Aston Villa, then, you know, don't tire them out on Saturday against Watford.
Boy, it's a conundrum, isn't it? Lee, tell us about the fixture that you're highlighting this weekend.
Yeah, so Chelsea playing Bournemouth this weekend. Bournemouth with a bit of a defensive crisis. So Nathan Ake got injured against Liverpool. And it's interesting watching that game, actually, because Liverpool were very much knocking on the door in that fixture without scoring. Then Ake gets the injury, and it was like a knife through butter after that. I mean, it ended 3-0, could have been more. So I expect that Ake will be a big miss for Bournemouth in that game. He's a bit of, you know, not only a very good defender, but he's a leader at the back there too. Reasonable chance that they go without Steve Cook and Adam Smith as well. So, yeah, I foresee good FPL points for the likes of Tammy Abraham and Pulisic and those guys.
Right, because they have sprung surprises against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge before now, and I think away as well. But in this case, on the back of five straight defeats, missing virtually an entire first team, you're looking at Chelsea assets and licking your lips. I mean, Abraham looks like a bit of a must-have.
Yeah, yes, he does. And he's in my team and he'll be staying. I think the real question is, who do you want to go with in midfield, if anybody? I currently have Mount and Pulisic in my team, which, given I've got the three attackers, is overkill, really. And it's something that I need to sort out in my team.
How are you going to sort it out?
Don't know yet. I'm feeling like I want to keep Tammy Abraham. Mm-hmm. Pulisic is a little bit on his last chance for me this weekend.
He's
four blanks back-to-back up to now. And playing an Ake-less at Bournemouth, I would expect him to get some points this weekend. If he doesn't, if he gets another blank, despite the underlying stats, because actually his shot percentages and his heat maps in the box are pretty good, but another blank and he'd be on borrowed time, I think, in my team.
What I like about Mount as a pick, apart from the price, is that he gives you value for money. In terms of when you're watching Chelsea, he always looks like he's going to score. He has so many shots, doesn't he, per game? And I think, yeah, so I'll definitely be persisting with him. There's a temptation with Willian. I think he's kind of underrated in fantasy terms at 7 million because he does provide a lot of chances, doesn't he?
He's been particularly good in the Champions League as well. I mean, just on Pulisic, a very popular dish in America, cherry pie, and I think he could be making that this weekend if he plays.
Very nice.
What a link.
Adrian, tell us about your Gunners, who failed to impress you despite the win against Man City.
Well, no, they impressed in the last half an hour. The confidence returned. Mm. But West Ham was so bad. It was one of the worst home performances I've seen from anyone for a long, long time. So I wouldn't get carried away with Arsenal. I think that having City players on board this weekend would make sense. City love playing in London.
Right.
They've won 10 of their last 11 trips.
Well, the last three visits to Arsenal, I've seen them basically pile up 8 goals and concede none.
Yeah, look, I've seen all those games and it's been quite ugly at times. Sterling's particularly dangerous in this fixture historically. Bernardo Silva has been good in recent years. And Arsenal have lost their first choice fullbacks, Tierney and Bellerin. And Maitland-Niles is no defender, really, and Kolasinac is certainly better going the other way. So I cannot see Arsenal keeping City out at all. I think City will score at least twice. But it's not unrealistic to suggest that both teams will score here, but I'd heavily favour Manchester City, and it kills me to say it.
Right. Which City assets in particular would you be looking at then?
Sterling, yeah. I think is good. And if people haven't jumped on board with Gabriel Jesus, I guess that's something to think about. I don't know how close Aguero is to coming back, but look, he's going to be buoyed by that hat-trick, isn't he?
Hat-trick midweek away in Zagreb.
He's the highest scorer in the Premier League this season with all of his goals coming away from home. The flip side to that is the top-scoring player who all of his goals have come at home is Lacazette. So he's probably an option as well if you fancy Arsenal.
Fascinating
to score.
Clash. Mm. Best away scorer against best home scorer.
But Lacazette was on the bench last game and Arsenal won. So what does Freddie Ljungberg do there? Martinelli, by the way.
Yes,
I
nice
mean, he's,
player.
He's yeah, only nice player. 4.5, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a great option.
He's a great bench boost option, particularly someone to have their spare.
And do you think Lacazette comes straight back in, though, Adrian? Well, surely, for a big, massive
always,
game, right?
I always think Arsenal are a better side with Lacazette in it.
Yeah.
I rate him massively, but...
I mean, he holds the ball up well, Lacazette, so against City, you kind of need that because you want to take some of the pressure off. Yeah,
yeah. But Pepe is sure to play. Because mm-hmm. he was the
you
match
think
winner.
So?
Yeah, he was the match winner.
Benching him left, right and centre in the league, though, isn't he?
Aubameyang will play.
Well, I don't know. Ljungberg might have heard that you're getting rid of Aubameyang.
And, and I just think it'd be really harsh to leave out Martinelli after such a key goal.
Right,
this
sure.
boy's lethal. He doesn't touch the ball that often. But when he gets chances, he's really, really clinical. And I'm very confident Martinelli will score plenty of points this season. It's just how often will he play in the Premier League?
Right. If you're playing a bench boost, as you say, could be an option. But for now, you don't see him breaking into the starting lineup.
I don't think many fans would.
Right.
But Ljungberg likes him.
OK. One other game quickly to mention is Man United-Everton. I think after United's wins against Spurs and then Man City last weekend, a lot of people might be thinking, hoo-hoo, let's pile in on them. This game, though, there's a lot of reasons why it might not be quite so productive for United players.
Yeah, stylistically, Everton under Ferguson are the kind of team United hate. I've looked into it and the three of their worst performances this season, Manchester United against Palace, against Newcastle and against Aston Villa recently, they were the three matches where the opponents had the fewest number of passes and the highest proportion of long passes.
Oh, okay.
And basically Everton against Chelsea had no interest in possession football. It was all about going direct. They were very low on passes. 29% of their balls went long. So if they play in the same manner, which I would expect they would, then they can give Manchester United problems. It's the type of team they don't like facing. So to just be wary of that.
Thinking about those three teams, though, I think they all have a target man who would, you know, collect that long ball and hold it up and bring others into play. Do you think Dominic Calvert-Lewin is that sort of player?
Definitely, yeah.
Okay.
He's one of the best players in the air, in the division. Flicks balls on for fun, and Richarlison, obviously, I like him in central areas. I like him as part of a front too. So I'm feeling a lot more optimistic about Everton and Everton's players
right.
with Ferguson okay. at the helm, because I know that sounds crazy after one game, but he's playing to the team's strengths, and I think that's so important.
So Richarlison's got 3 in 3... Calvert-Lewin picking up 12 points, which is his first return first attacking return in 6 game weeks. But a change in management might make things a little bit easier for him in terms of playing the way he wants to play. Everton's fixtures are not that great. Man United and then Arsenal, whether that's still a difficult fixture or not, I'll leave that up to your individual consciences. They're then Burnley at home and then Newcastle away, Manchester City and then Brighton at home. The other side to this question in fancy terms is what about Man United, where Rashford and Martial have been the really popular options, Lee?
I'm not sure what to make of that last Everton fixture, where that was a bit of a rallying cry there from Duncan Ferguson, and he got them all whipped up and they're at home, etc. Going away to Manchester United is an altogether different proposition. And if they play with that two up front again, they'll have less control of the midfield. I actually think, you know, I really like Scott McTominay, maybe not from a fantasy perspective, but I like him as a player. I think Fred has played really well in recent games for Manchester United. So if United can control that midfield and they can find balls through to the likes of Martial and Rashford, you know, if Everton are going to play with that two up top, they're going to attack. Well, United like the counter-attack. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, I'm considering bringing Rashford in because I think Everton, despite this rallying cry, despite what Adrian was saying, I think they could be a bit exposed at the back against United's counter-attack and the pace that they've got with Daniel James in particular.
The other thing with Rashford is that he looks like he's now the main penalty taker at United. He looks like his techniques kind of got better throughout the season. And United get a lot of penalties. 9.4% of the penalties they've ever got in the Premier League have come this year.
Mm.
So they're winning a lot of penalties, which is not surprising when you look at how they play.
Mm.
But, you know, I can see them getting another one against Everton.
They've been given the most amount of penalties this year, I think, in the league. I mean, they ate, I think, of which they've scored 6, I believe.
Is Daniel James the most underappreciated player in fantasy terms? I'm only thinking of it because of the price, 6.1. Last time I looked, he was Manchester United's top scorer in terms of points from midfield. So I think he's someone to think about. He won't score as many goals as a Martial or a Rashford, but he is chipping in on a consistent basis.
Interesting, but he's outscoring Martial from midfield, is he?
Yeah, but he's played a lot more games.
Okay.
Of course, but look, you need to play to score points, don't you?
Very, very true. After this, let's have a little long view at some of the more long-term strategies we need to be bringing in for our fancy teams. Long view, having a look at the fixtures that await over the next six game weeks or so. We're checking out how the fixtures are looking for some of the more attractive teams and also at some of the players who are only one yellow card away from suspension. You'll recall that if you pick up five yellows in your club's first 19 game weeks, you get yourself a one-game rest. Now, if you're a manager who owns, say, Raheem Sterling or Bernardo Silva or Baldock or Lundstrom or Wan-Bissaka or Rico or Alexander-Arnold, then all those players, and they've all got more than 10% ownership around the world, are just one yellow card away from getting a suspension. And imagine if that was Trent Alexander-Arnold who picks that up this weekend. He'd be missing not only game week 18, but 19 as well. Any of those players that you have, will that affect your thinking on any of them? Would you advise people to get rid as a result of that?
Could do, yeah. Although there's, I mean, the likes of Trent Alexander-Arnold and Lundstrom. I'm certainly not selling Lundstrom. I mean, it's a season keeper for me.
Really? I'm starting to lose faith a little bit.
Really?
Ooh, go on. I'd like to hear your thinking behind that, Duncan.
Just because he's not scoring many points. I mean, you know, last few weeks it's been 2, 3, 2, 1, 2. I mean, he can get you 20 here and there, but I'm not convinced that he is the kind of the golden boy that we all thought he was a few weeks ago.
If he's falling short in terms of points, is he still passing the eye test for you?
Yeah, because he gets into the box and he has chances. So, yeah, every time I see him, a little bit like Mason Mount, he looks like he's going to score goals. A couple have been sort of taken off his toes of late.
A couple of VARs, wasn't there?
Yeah, he's been quite unfortunate. I'm definitely sticking with him. On this suspension issue, Raheem Sterling is absolutely on my radar. I've kind of screenshotted the team that I want in a few weeks' time. I have to build up towards it.
And do you pin that on the dressing room wall?
I could do. I could pin it on my bathroom wall.
But that's it. So you've basically got a team you want to build towards, and you're making a swap or two every week.
Yeah. That's how I do it. Sterling's on my radar, but I'm going to hold fire until the amnesty passes, I think.
Right. So once he gets past game week 18, then he can breathe easy again. Duncan, do you do something similar in terms of working out where you want your team to be in 3-4 game weeks' time?
I'd like to say yes, but I'm going to actually say no. No,
I mean, you have a life.
CW fan.
I spend a lot of time looking at numbers, so, you know, planning that far ahead seems... I'm very impressed, actually, Adrian.
Right. Lee, what about you?
I'm similarly impressed. I can't say that I do pin any teams to my dressing room.
I don't pin it on the wall. James said that.
I'm very impressed with the amount of future planning that goes on here. Very much.
Right. Here's a question from Luncorn, who wants to know if he should get rid of Jack Grealish, who is on that list of players one yellow away from suspension, and replace him with Harvey Barnes, who's been a little bit of a star for Leicester coming out of midfield. Leicester's fixtures are starting to look a little bit more tricky. They do have Norwich at home this weekend, but then Manchester City followed by Liverpool. What are your thoughts?
Well, Grealish has been good for me. I brought him in 4 weeks ago, and that's luckily coincided with him picking up quite a lot of points. I'm not that worried about getting rid of him, really. And I think the Leicester thing is quite a key point. As you pointed out, the fixtures, but they've won eight in a row. Now, historically, that run is going to end pretty soon. They're not going to keep winning and winning and winning. So, I think I wouldn't be bringing in Leicester players in the next couple of weeks.
Well, Norwich at home, but then City and Liverpool.
Yeah.
Arduous. Very good. After this, let's turn to some of your tweets as we ask the question, what are your Liverpool plans for the next few game weeks with their blank in game week 18? Place to send your questions in is hashtag FPLpod on Twitter. And as I mentioned, our big theme this week is what to do with Liverpool. Liverpool currently sitting bottom of our long-view fixture list calendar calculator thing. But that's largely because after this game at home to Watford, they've got a big fat blank, and they follow that up with a trip to Leicester. So one or two decisions to make. Here are some of the tweets we've had in. Aziz says, what I'm going to do is have two players, Manny and Trent, and just bench them in game week 18. Is that sensible
That's
stuff?
That's the same two Liverpool players I've got, and yeah, probably the same, to be honest.
What are the odds? Vokeski, I'm going to transfer in guaranteed starter players with favourable fixtures. So basically get rid of Liverpool ones. I've already transferred out, says Vokeski, Mane and Salah. Oh, bold.
That is huge, isn't it? Who for? Got to be City players.
Guaranteed,
right?
Starters with favourable fixtures.
Son and Ali and those guys, I suppose.
Yeah, City or Leicester, I guess, with the Norwich game coming up. So, yeah, I've got Mane. He's staying.
He's staying, is he? Youngkar Kun asks, free hit perhaps, use that chip which enables you to swap your team around, do anything you want for 1 week, and then your team will just revert back to how it was at the end of that game week. What do you think?
Maybe, but that chip will come into its own towards
it's
the end of the season
so
when we
useful.
Have double game weeks and
yeah.
stuff. I would say hold on to it.
Yeah, young, hang on. Come April, you'll be thanking
us. Oh, now you tell me.
Have you already spent it?
Of course I have.
Oh, wow.
When did you use your free hit?
It worked.
Was
it
that
was
on
good.
The bathroom
I had a big week, yeah. But so it's fine. But yeah, I didn't think long term.
No, that's so strange, because in some ways you're long term, in other ways so very, very short. All right, Ibrahim, I only have Mane and I'm keeping him no matter what. I think a lot of people will...
So this is. I'm kind of interested by all these thoughts, and especially the guys in the studio here, because... And coming from a Liverpool fan, this right. pains me to say it, but I yeah. think there is absolutely a case for getting rid of the likes of Mane and Salah. If you look at obviously the blank, then it's Leicester, but the fixtures after that
yep.
are pretty tough up until January. So I think, say it quietly.
Remind me the last United time Liverpool were poor?
Yeah, I know. But, there's other players that that absolutely can come to the fore and are nailed on, where there'll be tons of rotation in that Liverpool squad.
That's interesting. Yeah, the fixtures after Leicester on Boxing Day are Wolves mm-hmm. at home, who have a terrific record against big six sides. Sheffield United at home.
Where... Yeah, who haven't lost away from home this season. And they gave Liverpool a pretty tough match at Bramall Lane.
Right. And then Spurs away. And we'll yet to see where Spurs will be once we get to that game in January. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're a work in progress under Mourinho. Okay, Bango22OTF says, play and captain Mane in all three, but bench him for game week 18. The faith is strong in Bango. Remember, if you've got a question or a comment you'd like to send in to us, it is hashtag FPL pod. So, Lee, you're shipping Liverpool players out, or in favour of doing so.
No, I said I could see that there's an argument for doing so.
Everybody else can, in your opinion.
Whether I will or not, James, is a completely different question, yeah.
Right, okay. I've got Mane and will be keeping him. Mm. I very much share this opinion that you don't want to be moving Sadio on at this point. Adrian, yeah.
No, not for turning.
Up next... Essential Differential. Essential Differential. We're looking for players with less than 10% ownership, so you get the points and not many other people do, but players that will bring you some points, ideally. So, Adrian, you're chuckling there. What have you got for us this week?
I like the look of Traore.
For Wolves?
I do, yeah. I think he's a player that's come into his own of late. He started the season as a wing-back, but he's been pushed forward into a more advanced position. And he's absolutely flying at the moment. He has had over 70 crosses from open play this season. And the nearest Wolves player to him is Johnny, who's in the 20s. So he is an absolute outlet on that right-hand side. He is fizzing balls across the face of goal for fun. Now, not enough of them are being converted, but it might just be a matter of time before his assist count goes up from three. He's got 2 goals, 3 assists.
Right.
I think I see good times for Traore.
The price is nice. The calendar might make you think twice, because they've got Spurs, then Norwich, but then Man City and Liverpool in the next four.
Yeah, I mean, famously, a couple of seasons ago when he was at Middlesbrough, albeit in the Championship, Drury made more dribbles by himself than Burnley did in the Premier League that season.
I love that stat. That's brilliant.
And on your point about the fixtures, what was the game where Traore, his own campaign, lifted off?
City.
Man City.
Oh, yes, he had.
Yeah. That's so true.
Wolves are a better team on the counter-attack, which is why the big fixtures don't scare me I would select Traore in the weeks where they play the big guns.
5.2 million is the cost. Lee, can you out-niche that one?
I can out-niche it, and you might need to bear with me on all this right. one, and feel free to completely shoot me down. But over the last couple of games, I've seen enough of Andy Carroll.
Sorry, I know,
don't look at
Andy
me that
Carroll?
Way. Yeah, don't look at me that way. I've seen enough of Andy Carroll to have him down as a differential. So he's 0.1% team selected by. So this is really, really niche. He is 5.4 million in FPL. And the reason I've picked him out is because in the last game, they were losing 1-0 to Southampton. Mm. And Joe Linton, and I've seen a little bit of Joe Linton so far this season, he was very statuesque. He wasn't really working those defenders. Andy Carroll come on and just started working hard. And on that basis, they got two goals. They beat Southampton 2-1. He changed that game fundamentally. Got an assist as well, as he did in the previous game week in 15. So, yeah, it's out there. But if you're looking to make strides over Christmas, maybe Andy Carroll.
It's time for Christmas Carol, in other words.
Very good, Duncan. Very good.
Magnificent. Magnificent. Duncan?
Well.
Yes.
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 Hear me out. Again, a bit like Lee here, I'm going to go for Angelo Ogbonna at West Ham. So West Ham, not in great form, but he's got two goals in his last four Premier League games, which is as many as he'd managed in his previous 112 in the competition. He looks quite threatening at set pieces. West Ham are away at Southampton, who have beaten more in the Premier League than any other team. They obviously need to win if they want to save the manager's job. That's kind of a debatable point, but I think he's a threat from set pieces. Southampton haven't looked particularly organised at set pieces this season, so yeah, I mean it's a long shot, but he could come up with some goods.
Three attacking returns in the last four game weeks, very impressive. West Ham's form in general, not so much, but as you say, there could be changes on the way for the East London side.
Yeah, I mean, he's only got 6 points fewer this season than Kelly at Palace, who everyone knows is a good option.
Right. Palace keep loads of clean sheets.
Yeah, but Ogbonna's smashed him in at the other end. So.
He has been so far.
I think you've only picked him
and
because
also,
it was a great stat.
Well, it's a good stat, but also, if Lee's going to go for Christmas Carol,
yes,
Angelo, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
I feel like we've surpassed ourselves.
Christmas
this
tree
week.
Formation, you'd be... Yeah, very good. His presence could be...
Oh, goodness me.
Could be very warmly received by managers. Yeah, anyway, good. 4.5 million is the cost. Good. Those are some options for you, but what are people actually going to do this weekend? We'll be looking at your transfers and captain choices after this. Dum, dum, dum. Okay then, Lee. Have you heard enough? Game week 17 is imminent. 11:30 Saturday morning. We need to get teams done by. What are you going to be doing to your team?
So I have two free transfers, and I spoke before on the pod about my triple threat for Chelsea up front. I've got Pulisic and Mount and Abraham, which for this game week, maybe I'll stick with, but in the long term, I don't think I want to be that heavily invested in the Chelsea forward line.
Right.
I'm thinking about dropping Mount of the three, which maybe it's Pulisic. It's still undecided. But if I do that, I'll drop down to Cantwell so that I have some money to upgrade Jimenez to Rashford. I do believe that Rashford is going to be such a great pick over the Christmas period. So it's largely going to be Rashford. I'm doing the transfer mainly to get Rashford in, and it's got to be one of the Chelsea boys that makes way to get the funds.
Okay. Campbell, interesting choice. What about you, Adrian?
I've done it already. Abraham for Aubameyang, and he's going to take the armband straight away.
Nice. Okay.
Home to Bournemouth. Really unimpressed with Bournemouth at the moment. My vice captain, just in case something goes wrong, will be Mane. Obviously at home to Watford. I think that he'll play.
Do you have Vardy, Adrian?
No.
No Vardy?
No. I just feel like I've missed the Vardy train.
It's still rolling.
Yeah, but really I'm looking to play catch-up. I have to sort of think of different things.
Just to remind you that the Vardy train is next up is stopping at a station called Norwich at home.
I know. But...
Okay. Excellent. Well, anyway, good stuff. You've done your transfer already, put your feet up. Watch the points roll in. Duncan, what about you?
Well, I want to bring in Son.
Yep.
And I'm probably going to do it for De Bruyne because I feel like he could be going off the boil.
Right.
Now, to do that, I need to probably do what people are calling an Adrian Clark and get rid of Aubameyang. But the question is, do I bring in Tammy Abraham as per your Clarks? Right. Or Do I do a Bomfield and bring in Marcus Rashford?
I thought you were going to say Andy Carroll for a moment.
Not Andy Carroll, no.
No.
So that's the decision, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a big decision.
It is a big decision. Yeah.
It is a big decision. Here's another big decision for you. Who gets the armband? Now, we've already heard from Adrian that Abraham is in and wearing that particular little accessory.
Mm.
Who are you giving it to, Duncan?
I think he came up trumps me last week when I didn't trust him, Jamie Vardy, and I'm going to trust him this week against that Norwich defence.
Can you look beyond Jamie Vardy after the run that he's on?
It'll be Vardy for me too. I think he's the safe and sensible pick. I certainly wouldn't be going without him.
Brilliant.
Adrian.
All right then. Well, so that is our thoughts ahead of Game Week 17. Deadline for your teams, 11:30 UK time, Saturday morning. Best luck to everybody, particularly in round one of the FPL Cup. Queen's 11 coming for you. If you'd like more FPL content, like the FPL show or FPL FYI, head over to premierleague.com. And we'll be back, of course, next week, counting down to Game Week 18. For now, many, many thanks to Adrian, Duncan and Lee for being with us. And you, Fantasy Manager, we'll catch up with you next week. Have an absolutely smashing Game Week 17.